Hi, Barrett. Thanks for joining us today on Classical IPR.
It's my pleasure, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
So what are you up to right now? I assume production for NCIS Los Angeles is on hiatus at the moment.
We would sort of be on hiatus anyway, which is sort of good and bad, I guess. I think it's more about when are we returning is the big question. I know the unions are negotiating with the powers that be, and we're trying to make everyone safe and trying to get it back to a way that can be sustainable and not spread disease. But it's hard because there's a lot of people in one room, lighting and makeup and grips and props. And I mean, it just goes on. And we're all on top of each other, and we all are working hard and fast to you know, shoot a scene anyway. So just to spread all of that out, and how are we gonna eat and have craft? There's so many different things to think about. So they're sort of work hammering that out, and I'm sort of doing my own personal work, I guess, like we all sort of are. I mean, usually in the hiatuses in between seasons, I would probably be doing theater, but that's sort of not happening.
For our listeners who may not know, your background is very much in theater. You, in fact, were a camper here at Interlochen for 4 summers.
Yes. And you were all started, really.
All kinds of shows. But, okay, Barrett, as I look at the list of roles you've played, you play a lot of guys who, like, they sort of start out innocent at the beginning and then get sort of educated. Like, you've been Frederick in Pirates of Penzance, you were Princeton in Avenue Q, for example. Like, is there something about you that you end up in these kinds of roles a lot?
You know, that's so interesting. No one's ever actually put it that way, Amanda. Thank you. That I love that. It's funny, I do often talk about and see a sort of narrative in my career of playing sort of underdogs that somehow win or figure something out. But I never really thought about it as someone who sort of, how did you phrase it? Learns or...
Yeah, they go from maybe kind of innocent or, you know, even with blinders on at the beginning to...
A little more worldly. I mean, I think that's definitely the case with Leif Conybeare in 2015.
Yeah.
Spelling Bee. He doesn't even know what he's doing at the Spelling Bee. And by the end, he's like, hey, I'm actually a smart person. I'm proud of what I've done here. And he lasts almost to the end. And spoiler alert, sorry.
Yeah. I'm not that smart. My siblings have been telling me that for years, that I'm not smart. We're schooled at home. They see who's bright. It breaks my heart. I'm not that smart. Guess what? You know what? Guess what? I have a gentle personality, which you'll all agree is anathema to my more aggressive family. Everyone keeps swatting.
Dumb kid.
But, you know, like, it's those sort of beautiful journeys that I think for an actor are the best to play, the innocent to knowing. And it's really interesting that you're saying that, because I feel like, you know, we were all just little ingenues when we were campers at Interlochen, or, you know, in school. And of course we thought we knew it all. And then, you know, you turn however old I am and you start realizing some stuff about the world and some stuff about yourself and how you fit in it and where you fit in it. And you're like, oh, I am smarter now. So to do that 8 times a week in a show that lasts 2 hours is a fun journey. It's certainly a fun journey. I sort of miss it.
Although you're not always the sheltered guy. I mean, you've played Dr. Pangloss in Bernstein's Candide. So, you know. Yes.
Which just goes to prove that everything's for the best in this best of all possible worlds, of which, if I may say so, Westphalia is the center. Look at this view. Mountains and towers, green meadows too, bursting with flowers. This is the heart of this best of all possible worlds. Quite the best part of this best of all possible worlds.
This is the heart of this best.
Yes, that was a sort of exception. all the character guys at I did that at University of Michigan my senior year, and all the character guys at Michigan were like, Are you kidding me?
You should be Candide.
Yeah. I'm really versatile, so.
Yeah. So you're an actor. We got that. But at Interlaken one summer, you were also Max, who's the lead in the play Lend Me a Tenor.
Yeah.
And you had to sing some Verdi.
I did. Oh gosh. Oh, that's such a wonderful and strangely problematic farce that I probably don't think will get done too much more, or shouldn't really be done anymore, because there's a lot of blackface in it.
There's a lot of blackface in it. Yeah.
But that character, yeah, it was fun to sort of be in a play, first of all, because I was mostly doing musicals at Interlaken. And Max is sort of the lead, and he's, again, innocent, and he grows. And then to also kind of, you know, I was learning a lot about classical music at Interlaken, sort of for the first time, and it being exposed to opera and orchestras and all these wonderful other things that I are not really sort of in my musical theater wheelhouse or weren't. And so then to get to kind of do that my senior year of high school and be like, I'm gonna be an opera singer and kind of live out my opera singer dreams is pretty cool.
And there's a really special moment in Lend Me a Tenor where the character you played, Max, sings a duet with the actual opera star, Il Stupendo. sings a duet from Verdi's Don Carlos. How was that, preparing that?
I don't remember. Honestly, it was so long ago. I don't remember. I could not even sing it for you right now. I wonder if I heard it, if it would bring back all kinds of amazing memories. Maybe we should play that.
Well, Barrett Foa, you have acted, you have been a singer, but you've also learned how to be a puppeteer when you played Princeton and Rod in Avenue Q. And I should say for our listeners, I don't think we will be playing any excerpts from Avenue Q on the program today, because I'm not sure there's anything in that soundtrack I can play on the radio without getting in trouble with the FCC. But did you have puppeteering experience before you were cast in that show?
I did not. I was the big experiment. I was the guinea pig. I was the first non-puppeteer in that show. You know, the people who were in the original cast were all like Sesame Street professional puppeteers. And then they were sort of, a lot of them were making their stage debut, certainly their Broadway debut. And I was a performer who knew nothing about puppetry, but they realized that the puppeteer community is about, you know, 25 people strong in New York. And they kind of exhausted all of those puppeteers and were like, I think we're gonna need to, or let's see if we can teach performers to puppeteer, because it's gonna be harder to teach puppeteers to perform. So.
Is it?
I don't know.
Well, you were the test case.
I think I was the test case. I mean, I think with puppeteers, sometimes puppeteers are puppeteers for a reason. They want to hide behind a wall and they're not performers. And so sometimes so I had the comedy and the look and the skills and the voice that they needed. And they were like, but can he do puppeteering? So I was the first person to go to puppet camp. Crash course in puppeteering. So right before my final audition, I, you know, kind of had some skills underneath my belt, and I guess I wowed them. And I was the understudy for a year, and I learned from the people who were on stage. And then I replaced, I was the first replacement, original cast member replacement, and I went into the role of Princeton and Rod for a year and a half. Which was really fun, but I learned a lot in that year, and then I was a much better puppeteer once I kind of hit the stage on a permanent basis.
And folks, I'll put a video up on our website at classicalipr.org where you can see Barrett and his castmates performing a G-rated number, actually, from Jerry Lewis telethon back in the day.
Why does everything have to be so hard?
Maybe you'll never find your purpose.
That's what people don't.
But then I don't know why I'm even alive.
Well, who does, really? Everyone's a little bit unsatisfied.
Everyone goes round a little empty inside.
Take a breath, look around.
Swallow your pride.
For now.
Nothing lasts.
Life goes on.
Full of surprises.
You'll be faced with problems of all shapes and sizes.
You're going to have to make a few compromises.
It's very relevant. It's the sentiment is very relevant right now. It's very topical. It's everything in life is only for now. And it's like everything moves through. It's going to be a little difficult right now. But we're gonna get through this. It's everything's temporary, which is hard right now to remember. And this seems very permanent. Whew.
And we'll accept the things we cannot avoid for now.
For now.
For now.
Okay, Barrett, you're an actor, you're a singer, you're a puppeteer, but you have another skill because you were a swing in Mamma Mia.
Yes.
So
the original cast.
Please tell me that you were one of the boys in Lay All Your Love on Me who dances in flippers.
I absolutely was. Dancing in flippers is one of my special skills. I never fell on my face, which is a good thing. I almost did. Actually, as I'm saying this, I suddenly got a flash of there's this thing, there's like a, I don't know, see if I can describe it. You're off stage and you have to sort of turn a corner, a very sharp corner, in order to go on stage. But you have to be flippering as you can't just start flippering when you hit the stage, you have to be flippering backstage this corner, and there's like this pole that they put into the set off stage that all the guys grab to like help them yank themselves around this corner in such a fast way so that we can be flippering as soon as we hit the stage. I completely forgot about that until just now, so thank you for reminding me of that. But there were some potential car crashes, flipper crashes in back in the day. Oof, I think I got out unscathed. Thank God.
Was that part of the audition as well? Did you have to...
I had to do the worm.
Oh my...
That's how I got the role. And yeah, I think that's how I got the role. And I remember when I was a kid, I did the worm when I like on my parents' mattress. And they were like, that's so great. And then I had never really done it as an adult. formed adult on a hard floor.
Uh-huh.
And let me just tell you, those things are different.
Oh, yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
Ha, ha, ha. But it got you the role, so maybe it was worth it. No pain, no gain.
Yeah, sure. We'll go there.
So, all right. Well, Barrett Follett, most of our audience probably knows you best from NCIS Los Angeles. Have played Eric Beale for over a decade now.
Can you believe?
And you mentioned earlier, like, you know, going and playing one role 2 hours every night, night after night. So what's it like here, you know, instead of this character who's got like a finite character arc, now you're playing someone whose story is ongoing. What is that like?
Very different. I mean, I thought that I would be a theater actor for the rest of my life. That's what I thought I would do. I was born and raised in New York. I went to college and then went back to New York to do Broadway. And you know, New York was just gonna be my home forever. There was no doubt about it. And just tried LA just to dip my toe in. And I sort of got a lottery ticket. kind of stumbled across this great show that lasted, that's like, you know, quote unquote, every actor's quote unquote dream. And that is long lasting, but you know, it changed the course of my life.
Now, unfortunately, police can't make anything stick due to the fact that witnesses against Senor Icy tend to suffer from such maladies as unnatural strangulation, untimely dismemberment, and unfortunate spills down empty elevator shafts.
Am I the only one who thinks he delivers that information a little too cheerfully?
Hey, don't hate. I love my job.
Eric is constantly growing, and it's interesting to see him mature from being, you know, sort of definitely this underdog character that was sort of my signature. and now, like, you know, he wears long pants and he's literally grown up before our eyes. And I certainly know that I've grown up, you know, I mean, from 11 years ago.
Hey, I'm sorry, because I could have really hurt someone with that flashbang.
And nothing. You did good.
Really?
Yeah.
You did great. Hey, do you think I'm a natural? Because I always felt like I was destined for great things. I mean, not Skywalker great, but like a potential within my soul.
The greatness is gone.
Can we go?
Shall we?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing a crash course in growing up right now, especially with just all the things we have to sort of be facing in the world, and then just with ourselves and being quarantined. And it's a roller coaster for sure, but it's a speedy one. Suddenly.
And all right, Barrett, this is interesting to me. So when one Googles you, the top 5 Google searches are like Barrett Foa married, Barrett Foa girlfriend, Barrett Foa husband, Barrett Foa single. What's it like knowing that like the Googling world is dying to know about your personal life? I mean, like 25 years ago when you were a camper, could you have imagined like one day you would be like this guy that people want to know, you know, what his relationship status is.
Interesting. I mean, if you're out there and you know, want a date, like give me a call.
I'm careful. You're going to, my phone is going to explode now from people wanting to get in touch with you. So thanks for that.
Yeah, well, or, you know, blow up my Instagram, DM me, slide into my DMs. she's a single lady and she needs someone to, you know, to make some eggs for. So, that was a weird way of saying me. Sometimes I just like to refer to myself as in the female third person. So I guess that's what I'm doing now. See, this is what quarantine's done to me.
Yeah.
No, I am single and would love a husband anytime soon. So bring him on over.
Oh my. All right. Well, I got to brace myself for my email to start exploding here. So as the people want to find out. Although I suppose a lot of people think that you're actually in a relationship with the character that you're with the woman your character is in a relationship on the show.
A lot of people sort of confuse that. Yes. people like, yep.
I saw in an interview you gave, you said when you wear your glasses in an airport that people are just like, oh, are you Eric Beale?
Airports, Midwestern airports especially, are sort of prime. My prime fandom seems to recognize me, especially if I have my glasses. And, you know, you don't want to fly with your contacts. So get the glasses and yeah. But you know what? It's, you know, if I ever need a little ego boost, I can just go to the airport. I don't even have to fly anywhere. I just sort of walk around and have a few people recognize me.
Although a lot of airports are ghost towns right now, so you know, I'm not sure. All right, Barrett. So. You know, speaking of fun rumors about you, I heard that you have not denied being one of the contestants on the upcoming season of The Masked Singer.
I have not denied that.
I think that's a show that can be taped with proper social distancing.
That's true. That mask is, it's literally The Masked Singer. Come on, we're all masked these days. So
they've been waiting.
It could be. I am a singer. I do wear a mask.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it. I'm just going to stop there.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. And so you're a multi-talented guy, theater, television, dance with flippers, Broadway, puppeteering, opera. But there's this one other kind of musical artistic performance that you kind of are known for doing.
Bust it.
Well, yes, I guess rapping is also in my wheelhouse. I was part of a show called, for the record, John Hughes. And it was, we sort of did scenes and songs, like little mashup scenes and songs from John Hughes movies, like Home Alone and Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Weird Science and Breakfast Club and 16 Candles. And I was sort of an Anthony Michael Hall, you know, geek.
No.
Can you believe?
That's and shocking.
Also the Ferris Bueller sort of role. Anyway, so somehow we made it so that I sang Bust a Move, and it was one of my favorite things. Maybe besides Donka Shane, which I really like singing as Ferris Bueller. But Bust a Move is such a fun song, and I learned the whole rap, all four verses, and did them many times a week for a long time. And I helped produce that show and brought it to New York, and it was very fun.
Hello, come sit next to me, you fine fella.
You run over there without a second to lose, then what comes next, hey, bust a move.
That'll make you a hit at weddings for several decades.
It's true. It was, and bar mitzvah. I don't know what I was about to say. I just started thinking about bar mitzvahs. I went to over 100 bar and bat mitzvahs when I was in 7th and 8th grade, just for the record. Fun fact. And I won a lot of dance contests.
Did you do the worm in those dance contests?
I probably did.
Yeah. So during this period of reflection, I guess, while your show's not taping and there's not a lot going on, what are you doing to keep yourself busy? Not getting a haircut, I can tell that, but
I am not getting a haircut, yes, and I'm growing my mustache out.
That is a snazzy looking mustache.
Thank you. Who knew it had a little ginger in it? I guess it likes to grow out a little red. Right now, first of all, cooking. I guess that's a thing that I do now, because I was never a cook. I was very much of a restaurant food eater outer person. And now I cook, which is fun. But, you know, I think that's not so abnormal in these quarantine times. But it's fun and it gives me a lot of pride. Also, just like some of the Black Lives Matter stuff has really opened my eyes. And I am just voracious in trying to learn about what's going on. So I'm reading some great books. I'm just watching documentaries every night, and really opening my eyes and like to a world that I thought wasn't about me, which is fascinating to me, that I was like, those characters don't really look like me. So I'm just not gonna really, I don't gravitate towards that because it's not really my story. And now I'm realizing, oh my God, it's so my story, and it's the story of America, and it's the story of how I've sort of been complicit in everything just by sort of being. And I think once, as I'm sort of peeling back those layers and realizing like where I fit into it, now I feel like I can be a part of the solution instead of sort of ignoring a part of the world and a people of the world that I was like, yeah, I mean, just, that's not about me.
So I'm writing your dating profile. So must love dogs, cooking, social justice, and good carpet for doing the worm on.
Amanda, you were cracking me up. Oh my God. Way to call it all back.
So if you do get back to Broadway eventually, what's your dream role?
Gosh. Well, if Broadway ever gets back is the real question. But I think my dream role hasn't been written yet. I think my dream role is going to be sort of written for me and around me and something that I collaborate on. I would love to originate a role. It's not something I've done yet. Last summer in my hiatus, I played Prior Walter in Angels in America, parts 1 and 2. We did both parts, and it's just the hugest, most complex, wonderful, layered play of maybe all time. You know, it's 2 3.5 hour plays, and I was basically the lead. Like it's so much, and I never sort of knew what I was capable of before that opportunity came to me. You know, I was like, Pryor is scary and he's weird and he's fabulous and he's sort of wasting away from AIDS in 1985. And, you know, I don't want to look like that. I don't want to have lesions on my body. Like, you know, there were not active things, but in the back of my mind, I was like, that feels gross to me or something. And suddenly I was like, there's nothing else I would want to play more. And I didn't think I was ever fabulous enough or a good enough actor enough. And then, you know, you get those challenges and you're like, am I up to this task? And you don't really realize it until you sort of are faced with them. And it's such a gorgeous thing to have a challenge in front of you. And it's scary and it's wonderful. But again, it's all about learning, right? So something like Angels in America, I know there was just a revival on Broadway, but, you know, Andrew Garfield, psh. Andrew Garfield won a Tony Award for it a couple of years ago for the revival. But anyway, it's a gorgeous role and a gorgeous play. And there's a play called Venus in Fur, which is a fabulous play. And I would love to, it's a two-hander by David Ives. And I'd love to play that role. And I was actually thinking it'd be really cool. Oh, I won't say that.
You'll leave us hanging like that. Okay. Barrett Foa, it's been great. Thank you so much for talking with us today here on Classical IPR.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Amanda.